So I'm about to be off the air, but I want to finish with a couple of last things. Remember that we as people, regardless of your sex, regardless of your color, regardless of your economic position in America, we as people possess the incredible ability and power to change and influence the world. People all throughout history have demonstrated to us today that ideas do rock and change the world. In fact, if ideas did not change the world, we would still be living in caves. In fact, we might not have even made it through the incredible struggles and times historically if it wasn't for the amazing ability of people to use their mind to think, to rationalize, and to change reality. Now, that process is part of what people throughout the world need to understand. We are powerful people with strong voices, all of us. Raise your voice against injustice, speak up, speak louder, speak clearer. And please, people, remember that we can and will overcome oppression in the world if we dare to struggle and if we dare to deal with the truth about the conditions that we find ourselves in. Women can be emancipated, black people can be liberated, all people throughout the world can bring about the idea and the concept that we are one people in one earth, in one country, in one land, with one resources to feed, house, educate us all. I was just told to keep going. I was just about to leave. Robert Norris is taking a quick delay. He'll be right with you. I hope you all stay tuned for his show. And I hope you all tune in to Free Santa Cruz, Free Radio Santa Cruz, on a more consistent basis, because there's a lot of very beautiful people doing different positive things, whether it be musically or artistically or articulating different political knowledge. So I hope people stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And if you have anything to send, any information or donations or other things, you can send them to Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7652. And if you want to call in during these times, during these shows, the phone number is 427-3772. Are you ready, Robert?
I can try today.
Here comes Robert Norris. The revolution hour is over, but not the revolution. Take care, y'all.
Kill that revolutionary.
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi. yes, you are about to listen to me. It's Bathrob Spear's Broadsides, folks. I'm Bathrob Spear, Robert Norris. You are indeed listening to Free Radio, 96.3 FM. We're going to seg you from revolution to a little bit more revolution, or certainly some talk about revolution, if nothing else. We've got guests galore today for the next 2 hours on Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. We're going to be talking with probably four River Street refugees, including Dragonsard Dan, Rolling Thunder Mike, and a whole crew of folks who've recently been running around the whole county trying to find a legal place to sleep and are now pressing for a legal campground, not just for themselves, but for all homeless people who need a place to sleep outdoors. And that issue is going to become increasingly important and increasingly pressing as we approach March 15th, which is when the Winter Armory shelter closes down. We're going to be talking about some bizarre occurrences in our Superior Court. Judge Kelsey apparently is presiding over the incarceration of a man involved in making a CPS documentary, a documentary about abuses in child protective services. And we have community activists, a local television personality, and ongoing, a mom for all seasons. Becky Johnson is going to be talking about that. We have a guest from UCSC, Jessica Miller, who has been closely monitoring the Board of Supervisors curfew debates. As you may remember, last Tuesday, Board of Supervisors passed 3-2. What I regard as an outrageous status crime curfew, making it illegal to be 18 after dark outside. If you're 18 after dark outside and you don't have a note from your mom, hey, head for the hills. You're history. That's tarrying without a permit. That's a crime now in the county, not yet in the city of Santa Cruz, and I guess Jessica is going to talk about that and the impact of that on UCSC students who look under 18. So we got lots coming up. I have our usual carload of clippings, and I have a whole bunch of interviews that I want to start rolling at you. I'm actually hoping that Dean, whoever covers the noon slot, doesn't show up so I can roll into the noon area and give you a three-hour show today, but that probably won't happen. So get ready to give a call in on any of this stuff. We may be delaying some of the calls to allow our guests to finish their thoughts and me to finish my breakfast. So here's Becky Johnson to begin to discuss, well, what's been happening around the Superior Court, what's been happening around the case of Lisa Ann. And we have an interview with Lisa Ann later, which I recorded yesterday. Lisa Ann, as you may remember, is the mom whose two children have been taken away from him, count them, two children, for lifestyle crimes. She's quite a case. We were present on the streets back in October. I was, and I guess, I don't know if Becky was, but others were present. You weren't present, Becky, but when this child was literally seized from her by the police and CPS, she was seized in the Union Grove parking lot. We attempted to get an attorney in touch with her. The cops would not allow an attorney into the building, and she ended up, as has been ever since, separated from her four-month-old and five-month-old child. And she's, I guess, seen the child once every 2 weeks or something, but she has been unable to reestablish any kind of rights over that child. Anyway, I'm going to turn the mic over to Becky Johnson, who is, in her own right, quite an articulate host. Go ahead, Becky.
Hello, everybody in the radio land. I just returned from the court this morning for the case. My co-producer, Patrick Lancelin, was arrested at the Graham Hill Youth Authority at Juvenile Hall on Wednesday, the 14th. He was arrested for allegedly, I say allegedly because I was there and witnessed this whole thing and didn't see any violation. He's arrested for having violated a temporary restraining order that was taken out against him by an attorney by the name of Lee Gulliver. She is the court-appointed attorney for his two children, and as we discovered on Wednesday, she is also the court-appointed attorney for the minor child of Lisa Ann. We were at the court on Wednesday filming our documentary when Ms. Gulliver walked out in the lobby, and because of the restraining order, Patrick was ordered to leave. An officer, Officer Robin Mitchell, told him that he needed to leave the building or be arrested. He complied. She indicated that he could wait in an area down near the end of the parking lot and not be in violation of the temporary restraining order. He went to the area where she indicated, and he waited there. And after about an hour or so, Lee Gulliver came out of the building, and she walked across the parking lot, went into her car, and drove off the facility. Apparently, she called the police and said that he needed to be arrested for having violated the restraining order. He was arrested approximately an hour later, and there was kind of an incident that happened before that that I think is quite curious. And he was put in jail. Now, this is a violation of a restraining order. It's a very minor charge. In most cases, the standard bail is $1,000. But for some reason, Judge William Kelsey raised the bail from $1,000 to $25,000. He had a court hearing this morning in Judge Thomas Kelly's court. Attorney Ed Fry has taken Patrick's case and represented him this morning, and there's a new hearing that has been scheduled for Tuesday at 1:30. I think that's a bail hearing. He reset the bail for $5,000, Judge Kelly did this morning.
Kelsey.
Kelly.
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 Kangaroo Kelly.
Let's not mix up our Kelseys and our Kellys.
Whoa, so very interesting, yes. Judge Kangaroo Kelly, as I call him, is actually a friend of mine, I am embarrassed to say. He has been very positive in many respects. For instance, in terms of permitting 980C tape recordings of court sessions, did he allow you to tape record the session?
We actually didn't ask to, but we certainly would have liked to have.
Yeah, for those of you who are interested in knowing, I've said this repeatedly on the air, if you are in court, you have the right to make a recording for personal use, even if it's not your case. There's a section of the California Rules of Court which allows you to do that, and the section a number is 980 subsection C, provided you do so and it's not for personal use. And Judge Kelly, for the last 4 years, has admitted this is not just a possibility, he has had specific papers drawn up for people to sign to inform the court that they are doing this and to promise that they will not use those recordings on a radio broadcast such as this. But other judges have been very recalcitrant, like Judge Kelsey right now. So was it Judge Kelsey who put the $25,000 bail on Patrick? Or?
Yes, Judge Kelsey.
And Judge Kelly has only reduced that to $5,000.
Which is five times the normal bail for that particular charge.
And what kind of evidence is being adduced that he violated this restraining order between himself and attorney and apparent CPS apologist Lee Gulliver?
I guess based on the testimony of Lee Gulliver, and not even testimony. She's the one that just called and made a report.
And did the judge hear your testimony and other testimonies of people who witnessed him making a good faith attempt to distance himself from this woman?
The judge did not listen to my testimony, although he did indicate for the prosecuting attorney to come over and interview me and Lisa Ann, who was also in the court.
Do you see this as some kind of broader attack on his and your attempt to draw publicity to possible abuses in the CPS program? I understand you're making a video around this issue.
If you judge by how we have been treated so far up at Graham Hill, then you'll see that they were very hostile towards us and threatening and went out of their way to make it difficult for us to film up there. But we persevered since it is a public place and we are journalists. We are protected somewhat by freedom of speech, freedom of the press.
Well, you've actually been instrumental in a number of controversial cases, Becky. You've been doing video, you and Charlie Phillips, around the case of the River Street refugees and the Coral Street open-air shelter campers who were unceremoniously and perfidiously evicted from the only legal campground in Santa Cruz last December. Charlie Phillips made a film called Campground, and that very good film, I might add. Has that appeared on television?
Yes, it's been airing on Channel 71.
And you've also been involved with Citizens Committee for the Homeless. In fact, you are a board member, and you've been vigorously trying to secure the return of the only homeless board member, Ray McMinn, who apparently is now at liberty and headed back toward California. Who knows, maybe with banjo on his knee.
I wish that was true. You know, he's still in custody in the state of Virginia. However, the parole board has ruled in Virginia to release him on parole, and if he's caught in the little paperwork end of it to get him released.
We'll hear more about that later, but let me focus again on what happened this morning. We have a man in jail for obeying the orders of a bailiff to leave a public area that he should not have been asked to leave because an attorney asserted some prior superior privilege based upon an injunction that she secured, a restraining order. Though, again, I'm a little bit vague as to the basis of that restraining order. He called her too many times to inquire about his kids or something. What was the... Do we have any details on that, or are we fuzzy?
Well, actually, I just looked at several declarations by attorneys. It was very curious. In that there were four different attorneys. They all signed these statements under penalty of perjury. This is foregoing is true and correct. And all of them had the wrong date. All of them.
My, they got their story straight, but it was the wrong story. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's they had the date wrong by exactly 1 month. They all said that that this incident in which Patrick Lancelin had gone to Lee Gulliver's office in an attempt to get a copy of a letter that Lee Gulliver had written and provided to the courts in New York. And he felt that since it involved his case and his children, that he should be privy to get a copy of this letter as well. When he went to her office, she not only refused to give him a copy of the letter, she denied that there was any letter at all. He became very upset and insisted he was not going to leave until she provided this letter.
He was threatening and abusive in that situation?
Threatening and abusive, but they didn't state what the threats were or describe the abuse. It was just their characteristic. One of the things they said, he had a wild gleam in his eye, which I horrible crime there. Watch those eye gleamings, folks. You know, might get in trouble.
I guess a difference between a wild gleam and a friendly twinkle maybe in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he...
These attorneys stated that they felt he was capable of violence.
Right.
However, I would challenge them to prove a single incident where he actually committed an act of violence.
Yeah, my knowledge of Patrick, which is limited, I've seen him. He's a wild and crazy guy in terms of his voluble manner, but I've never known him to be violent or threatening in any way. He's a very intense fellow, however, and perhaps the state attorney world regards that as threatening in and of itself.
Well, I think he is threatening of their little bailiwick.
Well, let me ask you, regarding the case you came to document, have you discussed that at all? I've been kind of running back and forth here in the studio.
This is an unbelievable case. The more we look at it, the more we cannot believe what our courts are doing, what are the judges and attorneys and special masters and all psychologists and therapists. Lisa Ann had her parental rights terminated on Wednesday. This was the court hearing that we were covering. In the course of the court testimony, as Lisa Ann told me, Commissioner Cloud said that she had shown no interest in her son, which is patently false. Every single visit that Lisa Ann was entitled to with her son, she went to each visit. She did not miss a single visit. And then inexplicably, the courts ruled that her conduct with the child was so dangerous that she could not, that it was not safe for her to be with her two-year-old son, even with a court-authorized supervisor there. And so her visitation was terminated in September of 95. And then they said, well, now there really is no parent-child bond in this case, so this child is adoptable. And the attorney for the parties that wish to adopt the child was at this hearing as well.
Not Lee Gulliver, by any chance.
Lee Gulliver is the court-appointed attorney for the children. This was a different attorney, a man by the name of Mr. Heintz.
I see. Well, you know, it happens that one of our Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcasters, Coral Broom, has provided us with a tape of kind of an interviews that happened this morning in the corridors of the courtroom, including, I guess, you're on the tape, so is Lisa Ann, the mother who is frequently... consorts with those perhaps of the wrong racial hue. I guess that was the reason she was originally under some suspicion by the CPS, because she felt she wanted her child to be raised in a racially mixed environment. She claims the child is of Mexican Indian parentage, and that is therefore a significant thing. And
yes. Chris Dibdahl of CPS made a huge issue over the race of her daughter Star and accused her of being mentally unfit because she insisted that her child was not white but of mixed ancestry.
Well, we know that anyone who would suggest that there's any kind of value in that kind of darker area would be mentally unfit, I'm sure. But let's hear what Coral's tape has to say about this. I'm hoping we can get this out. We're having some phone problems this morning, folks, so you can call in at 427-3772, but we're not sure we can put you on the air. We can indeed communicate with you, but whether we can actually put you on the air is a matter that remains to be seen.
Well, that look too hot now, does it? God.
What do you make of the real injustice that just happened?
It was pure nonsense. She set up a paper trail. He's going to put him under a mental... He'll have on his record that he was interviewed by a psychiatrist. Right? It's all to discredit him. Pure technicality.
You're listening to the voice of... Coral and Bob LaMonica, who's another commentator on this station frequently and who's currently heading a recall campaign for D.A. Art Danner.
Yeah, and he was in the courtroom this morning for this case.
Procedural facade, that's what I saw. He's already spent 48 hours in jail on some technicality. He was in. She was in her car. It's absurd.
Is that a routine procedure to take her judge to do? Or is it the nature of a child abuse case? Or what makes them go that route?
What, the judge here?
Yeah. Like, they see he's not a hard criminal, so they direct him over to mental health.
I think it's what we don't see. If I might be so bold, we see a procedural facade in a hearing like that, and one has to ask over the last 48 hours with contact some of the individuals involved on the other side have had, right? And what struck me, on top of everything else, is the judge ordering a mental hearing, and he was quite balanced up there. The jury box, and it just seems to me it's a way to set up a paper trail against the guy, so the whole thing is working against the guy. It's such a ridiculous technicality. I tend to agree that what happened to Patrick is that this is all an attempt to discredit him. And some people in positions of authority and power don't like to be challenged.
Look at the court records on this one man.
Absolute, such bullshit. I'm just, they continue to shock.
This is the voice of attorney Kate Wells, who I believe, was it Ed Fry or Kate Wells who represented Patrick this morning?
Ed Fry representing Patrick. Kate Wells was in the case. Kate Wells, she was in the courtroom. Kate Wells is the attorney for Lisa Ann in the case with her daughter Star.
So we have two cases actually we're following simultaneously, in case it's a little confusing for you listeners. One is the case of a mom whose two children are being stolen from her by CPS in the courts. That's Lisa Ann. And the attorney in that case is, in the case of her young son, it's a court-appointed public defender. For Lisa Ann, her attorney is...
Shanoa Summers.
Shanoa Summers, and that actually didn't happen today, but it had happened earlier. That's where Patrick, the video photographer, was arrested. Patrick, who's been held in jail for 48 hours, has as his attorney Ed Fry, who's a pivotal figure in Free Radio Santa Cruz and a strident opponent of District Attorney Art Danner, as well as a frequent advocate for homeless and poor causes. And so we'll continue with this tape. The voice you're hearing, the woman's voice, is that of Kate Wells, attorney Kate Wells.
And how absolutely they can flagrantly flout the law.
What about that mental health? They wanted to, didn't they just attempt to set up a paper trail to make him look like he's out of it?
Well, luckily we've already got the paper trail that shows that he's in it.
The mixed
opinions on Judge Kelly, no question about it, but I have always found him to be very spreadsheeter with me. I realize his history. I've known Tom for 20, 25 years, but he's always, He's always been straight with me. So I don't think that Tom has any axe to grind against Patrick. And I think he barely heard what was happening. I think he truly cares and is concerned, because you can tell how stressed Patrick is. I mean, I'm natural to put him in that position. Well, and I think probably what Kelly is worried about is how stressed is he? I mean, he's so stressed that he might do something radical, and that's what he wants to find out. And I don't think that's necessarily unreasonable on Judge Kelly's part. I mean, we're going to talk about the real unreasonable act that happened here. So we go over. I mean, this is where we have to get to the root of all of this this evil. And to me, it's Lee and the whole little scheme of double billing and guilting the public in general for stealing children.
Yeah, regardless of what stress might be involved in his case, I think, you know, he can take care of it himself. You know, a person doesn't have to go to a psychologist just because they have a little stress. I think everybody in the world does.
Yeah, how you doing?
Obviously, he's handling it perfectly well.
So I'm going to cut to the chase here, because this tape is interesting but rather rambling. Cora, let's do our editing. Of course, she didn't have any time to do any editing on this tape, and I want to thank her for providing us with it. Patrick is currently incarcerated. We're getting the box score here. The box score is Patrick, what's his last name?
Lancelin.
Patrick Lancelin, video photographer, is currently incarcerated for alleged violation of a court order while he was in the process of trying to do the documentary on Lisa Ann and other CPS people. He's been ordered to have a psychiatric evaluation by Judge Kelly. His bail, initially $1,000, was jumped to $25,000 and reduced to $5,000, and he is currently in jail behind bars. And I believe if you're in jail on civil contempt, and I'm not sure if this is civil contempt, is this civil or criminal contempt we're talking about here? Do you know?
I believe it's criminal.
Right, because if it's civil contempt, I've been jailed on civil contempt. I was jailed in 1992 for wearing the button "Fuck Judges Without Justice" to the court of Heather Morse, in a case where she took away the rights of a homeless defendant, Red Top Robert Flory. I didn't cause any disruption, but Heather Morse decided that that wasn't the wrong kind of message to send to the public. Anyway, in Patrick's case, he's been held already for, what, at least 36 hours in jail, and he's going to be probably held over the weekend in jail. He has had no access to a jury.
Yeah, the bail hearing has been set for Tuesday at 1:30.
So, looks to me like they're, as we say on the air, fucking with this guy, they're messing with him, they're trying to pressure him through these kinds of delays, or one might say simply it's the slow and creaky workings of the bureaucracy.
One of the things that I've said about this case is, first they drive you crazy, and then they accuse you of being crazy.
Right. Well, it all works out in the end, Becky. I think that that's true. Is there anything that people can do out there who are hearing about these abuses? If you have been hassled around CPS, Child Protective Services, if you've been finding judicial abuses that you think need to be aired, and we try to do that, although we get bogged down in all the details, but the details are important in these cases. Give a call to 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm again hoping we can get something on the air. We're not sure if the phone line is working in terms of actual broadcasting. If it isn't, I'll ask you to call my home phone, Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom phone. That's 423-HUFF-423-4833, and leave a message of any length on a number where you can be contacted, and we'll get back to you. If you think you have things to say either to Becky, who's doing this documentary, privately or publicly on the air to the Santa Cruz community, give a call to 423-4833. You are, of course, listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and you can, of course, show up on Tuesday in, what, Courtroom 1? Is that where is this going to be happening, this thing with Patrick?
I'm not entirely sure. I assume it's in Judge Tom Kelly's courtroom.
Yeah, which I think is Department 1 at the moment. They kind of switch around periodically. And again, the spelling of Patrick's last name?
L-A-N C-E-L-I-N.
That's Patrick Lancelin, and that'll be Tuesday morning at what, 8?
It's Tuesday afternoon at 1:30.
Yeah, Tuesday afternoon at 1:30, so you can show up to support Patrick Lancelin at that time.
Lancelin,
or Lancelot, if you want to get it wrong. Patrick Lancelin at that time, I'm sure he'll be grateful if you do. You can also contact, if you have any information on any or support you want to provide, financial or otherwise, to the attorneys who are volunteering their time on this, leave me a message at 423-4833, and I'll get the attorneys to contact you. These are not attorneys who are getting paid diddly squat. They're actually, does he have a court-appointed attorney, or is this a volunteer attorney, a pro bono attorney?
Ed Fry?
Yeah.
No, he's not court-appointed. Yeah, Patrick's made some arrangements with him.
Okay, so that's what's happening there. And again, this whole case is a sort of an offshoot of Lisa Ann and the case of her children, which we have been following in some detail. And I'm going to play you an interview with Lisa Ann that I did on the streets yesterday later in the show, if I can find it. I am inundated with tapes, and unfortunately my main researcher was spirited away as a child care person earlier this morning, so my preparation for the show is not the best. But that's what happens on Free Radio Santa Cruz. You wing it as you go, and hopefully we'll wing it with your assistance. And you, of course, are welcome to call in. Again, even if we can't put you on the air today, we certainly can direct you to, well, you can tape record your what you have to say, and we'll put it on the air later. We think that the community here is vital. We talk to each other all the time here. The activists you're hearing in the studio, Becky, myself, I see Bob LaMonica has slipped in. We also have Food Not Bombs D-Bob, who's here, who's been covering the Food Not Bombs operation Wednesday, Saturdays, and Sundays with Food Not Bombs. In fact, let me invite D-Bob over to the mic right now. He's been kind of patiently waiting. Are you still patiently waiting back there, D-Bob? He's still patiently waiting to do some announcements regarding Food Not Bombs. Do you want to do that now or later? He wants to do that later, so we'll wait on that, and we'll turn instead to Bob. Are you here, kind of in and out, or what's your situation? Bob LaMonica was actually at the court hearing. You heard his voice on the tape. Wait, we have an incoming call. Hang on a second, folks.
Hi there. I think we can hear you on the air. Speak up.
Hello, everyone. Are we on the air?
You are on the air. So this is good news, callers. If you want, you can call in, and you can actually talk to the community. Free Radio Santa Cruz. This sounds like the voice of John Stewart.
Okay, that's it.
John, did you have anything you wanted to say regarding anything at all?
Revolt.
Revolt. Okay, well, that's...
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
So that's our revolting advocate of a resistance to psychiatric oppression, John Stewart, who also has a show, which I wish I'd learned what time it was. Anybody know what time John Stewart's show is? It's probably on the chart there. We have a sort of a... We're hoping to get out an actual distributable flyer that will enable you to tell who is doing what when on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and who knows, maybe sometime in the next year or two we'll be able to do that.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, hi. The previous court thing, is that like a child custody thing also with the man involved?
It is actually. He's fighting for access to his kids, and I think Becky Johnson has been more closely aligned to that. Do you want to talk to her on that issue?
No. What I want to tell everybody out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Read a book by, it may be hard to find, and it may be in German. It's by Jacob Bachofen. Bachofen.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote Das Mutterrecht. It means the mother right. Mother right. Now, what this is all about is he was one of the strongest national socialist philosopher of the German Nazi machine.
Mm-hmm.
And now what this ties in with is right now in our little culture right here about the evil male, okay? And this works both ways, by the way. Okay, the powers that be, they work against women if it's their choice, and work against the male if it's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
this
yeah.
is what's going on with the other woman who had her two kids taken away.
Yeah.
It's coming from the, it's the same thing, it works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do basically with, culture destruction, basically, you know.
It sounds like you may, this sounds like Al to me. Hi, Al.
Yes.
Al, I guess last show you were talking about I hope we can get some kind of a interview with you on campgrounds and your history.
Exactly. This is a whole other issue. I'm a total proponent of the open land movement, but it goes back, you know, 25 years.
But you're also an expert. Apparently, you've also been doing some reading on issues we've been talking about today.
Oh, exactly. It all ties in. This is exactly what's happening.
Well, and you do have a copy of this book yourself, I take it.
I don't have it.
Uh-oh, well, get out there.
I want somebody.
Call your German Nazi friends.
Somebody do some work and find this, because basically what it boils down to is that, now this has been talked about in a sociological magazine.
Well, look, why don't you do some more research? And this sounds good, because but of course it's not very helpful.
Right. I want people to be aware and really, you know, find out where the roots of so-called, you know, I know if you push against, you know, quote, feminism, it's wrong, and if you, you know, but a lot of this stuff goes, there is fascism going on that is...
In the system
that's exactly what
it
is.
In the system the authorities define, control, and expand their own powers over the rest of us, unfortunately.
Exactly. Make victims of subculture is basically what it is.
Well, look, give us more of information when you got more specifics, and we'll talk to you later.
Sure. Bye.
Thanks, Al.
So, I see here in front of me, we of course are talking about Lisa Ann's case with her kids and the case of a man currently in jail for sitting in a grassy knoll near the juvenile court. Certainly a serious crime, whether it's worthy of a $5,000 bail, another question, but...
About 2 weeks ago, another man was arrested for having severely battered his girlfriend. He broke two of her ribs. He broke her arm. He strangled her so much so that she passed out from unconsciousness. They came and they arrested him. His bail was $30,000. Patrick sat on a grassy spot at a place that an officer of the law had directed him to sit. And when Lee Gulliver came out to her car, she said he was standing there. He didn't back away from her. He was leaning against a pole, and she said he glared at her. He said he looked at her, and she drove off. And so his bail is $25,000. Go figure.
Indeed. I might add that Judge Kelsey and I have come into conflict recently, as listeners of this station know, in the case of Robbie Berlin, a man who unsuccessfully tried to make a medical marijuana defense when he was accused of felony possession and cultivation of 58 plants. And Kelsey denied the defense, and Kelsey also attempted to punish those of us who were flyering in the hallways about other issues. I was flyering about the homeless issue. Kelsey threatened to find me in contempt of court. I told him that was none of his business to do that. Kelsey refused also the basic right to have a tape recorder in the courtroom, which, again, he has no business doing. Kelly, on the other hand, who has been a kind of a... I like him personally. As I said, we're on very good terms. This judge, however, has had a bad record on some homeless issues. He is the one who arrested, essentially had Robert Flory banished to the basement of the courtroom in chains, in essence, in handcuffs and led away, in his little yellow, little orange outfit that they have you in, because his attorney at that time, Growlin' Greg Coben, back in 1991, when Flory was at the town clock doing an ongoing peace vigil there against police abuse and abuse of the homeless and the Iraqi genocide policies of the federal government, because he refused to say he would leave the town clock. Because he felt it was his First Amendment right to remain there, provided he was not abusing the monument, provided he was not littering and trashing the area. And Kelly's response was summary justice, so-called, to lock him up in the basement, to essentially hold him in contempt of court for trying to assert his rights. So Kelly has a mixed record on some of these issues, and there's no question about it. And it sounds like today he's made another bad decision, and that's too bad. But, you know, it's expected.
Bob Lemonic is here. I'm going to give a brief statement. Actually, it's on another subject, which is...
I wanted to speak on the Patrick
thing. Wants to talk about the Patrick
for you. There's two,
Lancelin case.
Two pieces of literature.
Right. Okay, well, go ahead. This is Bob Lemonic speaking, a man who I abuse by calling Battling Bob.
I've known Patrick for nearly a year. I know him to be a very sincere and honest and admirable political worker who is dealing in the open to uncover corruption in Santa Cruz County in the judicial system. Now, whether we like it or not, there are rogue elements out there that will abuse the judicial process, which was designed to bring forth the truth. Now, I sat in that hearing and I listened to this mumbling assistant DA trying to figure out what he's saying. They're trying to discredit this guy because he's being effective. That's what I saw there. And I have known Patrick, like I said, for nearly a year. I know him to be an admirable, credible, sincere political worker dealing with some very difficult issues. This is all about an attempt to discredit him. These are lawyers who know how to file paperwork to stall and discredit and detract from the truth. And I hope that over the course of this incident, when the sad thing is that Mr. Lancelin is in jail, over such a vicious and ridiculous technicality that it's absurd. The whole basis of this thing is absurd. It's just disgusting. I hope that these situations, as they arise, we're coming into the 1996 political year, I hope that these situations in this town, in Santa Cruz, that they provide the catalyst for people to realize that the time has come to recognize our participatory role in society and stand up for truth and justice.
Well, thank you, Bob. Me too, no question about it. I'm going to now kind of play a little interview that I did yesterday about San Francisco. It actually took place between me and the Coalition on Homelessness, which is a primary group that defends the rights of houseless people up in San Francisco, which apparently is still quite in the grip of a continued Matrix program. The Matrix program, as you may remember, is a program that targets poor people, people living outside, people the merchants don't want downtown, essentially for a status crime, not the status crime of being under 18, which we're also going to be discussing today with UCSC student Jessica Miller, but the status crime of being poor, of being outdoors, of having no legal place to be, and therefore suddenly becoming a criminal after a certain time, or if you fall asleep at a certain point anywhere. It's called the Matrix program. It was initiated by, well, it wasn't really initiated by Jordan. It was pursued by Mayor Agnos before that, but it was named by and publicized by Mayor Jordan, who really began massive arrests in earnest in 1993, and that's continued to the present. Indeed, still continues under the administration of the new liberal, slick Willie Brown, the new mayor of San Francisco. And this is an interview with Street Watch, which is a group that works closely with the Coalition on Homelessness. It'll also give me an opportunity to line up our guests a little more closely and return to local affairs. You're welcome to call in. I will take your calls. But this is a segment that might interest you and our San Francisco audience, since we do go out to San Francisco, too. You're listening to 96.3 FM, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz and across the state.
Hi, I'm talking to whom?
My name is Timothy Mashop.
Timothy, I'm Robert Norris of Free Radio Santa Cruz down here in Santa Cruz.
How are you doing? We have met before. I recall you from Food Not Bombs.
Yes. Your name is familiar too, but I'm not quite ringing a bell. Maybe it'll come back to me as I talk to you. I have a twice weekly show, and tomorrow we're doing a kind of a piece on the San Francisco Examiner Matrix story, which is entitled After Matrix What? Did you see that story by Rachel Gordon?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me a little bit about, like, Street Watch, what Street Watch is doing, how long it's been in operation, how it gets its funding, and what's cooking with Street Watch?
Street Watch has been in operation for a couple years. It is a project now of, it's been a project of the Coalition of Homelessness and Empty the Shelters. Now it's a project of only Empty the Shelters, and we get our, I'm sorry, of the Coalition of Homelessness, excuse me, and we get our funding through them. The purpose of Street Watch is to document the abuse of homeless people's and street people's rights by the police and security guards.
This is the city of San Francisco, right?
Yes, in San Francisco. And to use the information that we document to do advocacy on the behalf of the homeless. And also, we give information referral through our outreach for homeless people to help them address the abuses they're receiving.
Do you have a lot of homeless people working with you, or?
I'm sorry?
A lot of homeless people working with you, Tim, or?
Yes. Certainly. A part of the Coalition on Homelessness, a basic element of it is that we set our advocacy based on the information we receive from the people on the streets. Like, for instance, I'm a homeless squatter, and I'm one of the main people with Street Watch. And on a regular basis, the people that we work with, it's a combination of people who do advocacy work and people who are actually homeless. I would say right now, of our staff, half of us are homeless or have been homeless.
So what's the story with the new Brown administration? Any change in the police policies around Matrix, which is the program that harasses homeless people in the parks and in the downtown areas, and I guess it's expanding throughout the city, right?
The policy has changed, but the reality of what happens on the streets hasn't. That is the problem that we're seeing right now. Willie Brown has said Matrix is over. He has either forced into retirement or demoted a couple of people who were in the police brass that were very supportive of Matrix. Nonetheless, and even though the top police people have been saying that now the homeless harassment is not prioritized and this and that, even though they've been saying all the right things, the reality on the streets is it's going on as usual. In fact, this morning I just saw an arrest and property confiscation a half a block from the Coalition of Homelessness.
Can you describe that?
Yes. Property confiscation?
Yeah, well, specifically what you saw in this incident.
What I saw was a normal routine. As I approached, it happened about 7:45 this morning, they just finished putting someone in the back of a police van. And the scene was, there was a police van double parked, and in front of the van, or sort of in front of the van on the street, was a bunch of belongings, a pile like 10 feet by 4 feet. It seemed like the person was a street vendor.